Welcome to episode 54 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pratap, and Erica Tano-Sayez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids just like you. Last time, an Audrin Maelstrom was invoked. This means that many of our couriers are being switched to different Audrins for the last 3 months of the route, and June, Kieran, and Cece are among them. They had a difficult conversation with Denison, and June realized she was forgetting something. The Saker Falcon. Will she be separated from her best friends and her favorite bird? What will become of our heroes? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
What are you doing, June?
June runs to the bird yard and is looking for the Saker Falcon because it just occurred to her that she's not going to have the falcon with her when she goes to the Yellow Audrin. Like, there are tears in her eyes. Her braid is flying. Like, she's running as fast as she can because it just occurred to her. She doesn't know if there's a way to, like, ask that the bird can come with her or, like, how that works or if the birds are being shuffled too. And she didn't even think about it until that moment that Denison said he knew what happened at the bird yard. And so she's just booking it over there to see if she can see the falcon and find out what's happening.
Cece, Kieran, what are you doing?
I think Kieran's still following June.
Yeah, I think Cece is kind of like in this weird state of like confusion emotionally. So she's kind of just doing her usual like prance along in the back and being like, June, where are you going? Are you going to the bird yard? Cool. And just like skipping along and making jokes and being silly because that was really overwhelming. But once again, has completely forgotten what is actually happening today. June, wait up, dog. Dang.
June, you make it to the bird yard and you see out in front there's Mortimer, the head bird keeper.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting there at like a desk that's been brought out, and there's a little parasol out there as everyone is running around because they're getting the birds ready to like leave because this is a big upset.
June, very out of breath, comes running up to the desk where Mortimer is and like kind of has to shuffle and like slide through the crowd to get to where he is. Mr. Mortimer, sir.
Hello there, young, what's your name again?
June, sir. June Hymnal.
Young June Hymnal of the...
Red Audrin, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were the one from the other day.
Yes.
On that secret Audrin. And he, like, winks.
Mm-hmm. Is that what Cece told you?
Didn't really realize Corianna had implemented that yet, but all right.
The what? Sir, what? Sorry, what?
How can I help you?
Sir, I had a question. The Audrin Maelstrom, everybody's being shuffled.
I know, it's what we're working on right now.
Okay. Are the birds being shuffled to different Audrins too,
I
sir?
I don't have any paperwork on that, but is there a particular bird you need to
move? I'm trying to find out. Yes. Do I ask you to do that?
You can.
Okay. The Saker Falcon from the Red Audrin Augury, I'm supposed to go to the Yellow Audrin, and I need the bird to go to the Yellow Audrin as well, sir.
And he kind of steeples his fingers and kind of looks over his desk. There's a bunch of paperwork that he's, like, working on. People are coming up and, like, handing him things, and he's taking them and, like, writing them down and, like, passing them to other people. So what you're saying is you need to make sure that this bird goes to the Yellow Audrin instead?
Instead of what?
Instead of the birds that they have right now.
I guess I'm not clear on the specifics of how an Audrin Maelstrom works, sir.
Well, I mean, he like pulls out another thing. He's looking at him.
They got Charger, who's a blood pheasant, who's a medium bird. Your augury looks to be about a medium bird as well, about 11 and a half feet.
Yes, that's right.
So you want to switch that one over? Do you have any written from your, your captain?
I don't know who the captain is, sir.
Oh, well.
For the Yellow Audrin, now.
Oh, I'm sure that would be right now, I guess. So, I guess I could move that over if you like.
Well, there's not room to just have another bird. I know on the Red Audrin we usually have like a little bit of extra room. Is that not a thing?
Not usually, but I mean, there's only a couple of birds on the Yellow Audrin.
I'm sorry, there's only a couple of birds?
Yeah, I mean,
how many is a couple?
They got four small ones and three medium ones.
And compared to the Red Audrin, that's like considerably less birds?
It's considerably less.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on. Let me double check just to be sure.
Panic.
You didn't mention any big, seven, eight. You said little and medium, but what about them big birds?
What about them big birds?
What about them big ones? Like a big chicken.
he goes, I'm sorry. They got two small, two medium, one large.
That's it?
Five birds, yeah.
That's it.
There's on the Red Audrin, there's like eight.
Yeah, there's more birds. What do they even do? There's no room to just add another bird to the roster?
Not really, unless you have some way of convincing me and making sure that happens.
Ooh, bribe him, June.
I don't really...
Pull a luminary.
Okay.
By the way, this whole thing sounds like June just found out there's no Nintendo at Grandma's house.
He's for
like,
sure.
What do you do for
what
fun?
What do you mean?
What do you do for
books?
What do you mean? Yeah.
No, that's exactly what it is.
No Nintendo. I don't want to watch Mary Poppins for the 20th time.
But like, Nintendo?
Okay. It's the Union. So I think at that moment, there's an uproar as some people are trying to move birds out of certain areas.
Oh, yeah, there's a bird that like begins to squawk and Morn's like, hold on, you stay right here, young lady. And he like gets up to go take care of it.
Yeah. Okay, because I was going to suggest... Because it's the Union.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to suggest, Pulumi, back me up that this is a Horse Girl classic move. You know that scene in War Horse when Joey and the guy have been like separated from all this time, but the horse recognizes him even though he's got his blindfold on and they like reach for each other. Yeah. And then they like find each other through the crowd, even though it's been years since they've been at each other's side. They like still. Right. OK, so this is a Horse Girl thing that there's this uproar and somebody needs help and Mortimer jumps up to help them. And the Saker Falcon like breaks loose of whatever.
Oh, it was the Sacred Falcon that was making the noise.
Yeah. It breaks loose of the grip of the aviary trainers that are like trying to move it to a different area. And June sees the Falcon and the Falcon sees June and they just in a slow-mo in an old movie, they part the Red Sea and come to each other and the bird goes right for June. And June like puts her hands up on this big beak and there's a easy, steady.
There's
one of those moments.
There's a forehead boop.
There's a four. Oh, at the forehead to forehead. Yeah.
Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So basically, Mortimer was running over to take care of Augury, which I don't think we've ever named until
now. It's slipped out a couple of times, and we've never like officially stated canonically that.
Then
that's
we will officially state right now.
Yeah.
The bird's name is Augury.
Yes.
And he's running over to it, and the bird swoops down over them and lands with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around and looks and goes. And he, like, walks over as the two of you are having this tender moment.
This forehead boop.
Is this the bird you're talking about, young lady?
Yes, sir.
And this is the one you want?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been a bird wrangler for most of my life. You know, and he kind of looks around and goes, me and Coriander were good friends. Still are. But I was one of his original bird riders.
Were you really, sir?
I was.
Wow. So?
I know a good match when I see one. So, if you say this is your bird, and this bird... obviously, he wants to go with you. I'll switch some things around. Make sure it goes with you on the Yellow Audrin.
I would be very, very grateful, sir.
I can do that.
Thank you, Mr. Mortimer.
Go on. Get along with you.
And I think June, like, sort of turns and, like, pets the bird one more time and then sort of, like, nods and waits for the trainers to come back over and sort of, like, passes the bird off to them for them to continue their business. And she stands there kind of shaking.
The bird looks back at you, June, and the two of you connect.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them?
Everything is changing.
Change?
But we're going to be together.
Change?
Yes.
Good.
And June hesitates and then goes, yes.
Good.
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 I think the last time June says it out loud under her breath, good.
I stay with Fire Friend?
Yes. We're going to go somewhere new, but we'll go together.
Good.
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 Go play now. Good.
Yeah. And the bird goes off with the trainers who are moving it.
I think this is the point where Cece and Kieran kind of show up.
Yeah.
Cece runs to the fence where all these birds are in the pen. And like June, that's very important. But Cece locks eyes with the weird big pigeon that she rode at prom.
Yeah.
And the two just have this connection where the big, big pigeon eye looks at her like, and she looks at it. And it's like, she has named it, by the way. I don't know what its name is, but that bird's name now is Doviotto.
That's great.
I love that.
She says, Doviotto. What? Hey, bird person? Hey, bird handler? Bird handler?
What is it? Who are all these young girls yelling at me?
Where does Big Dove go? What Audrin is Big Dove?
Oh, I mean, the big dove is usually stationed here, but I don't know.
What?
I'm feeling generous, apparently. You want this bird on whatever Audrin you're going on?
I can't explain why, but this big bird in me, we're
like simpatico.
Best friends.
You're friends. You're connected.
I guess.
I just
love that dang bird.
I understand very well. What Audrin you going to, young lady?
Oh, and it all comes rushing back in this very sad moment.
June is like just off to the side and kind of goes, there it is.
I'm going on a different Audrin than
Kieran
I'm used to.
Swoops in and like puts an arm around Cece's shoulder.
I'm going not with this one. Now I'm not going with the little one or the fiery one. I'm going on the black Audrin and not the one.
I'm sorry. What did you say? And Mortimer kind of looks to you, Kieran. Like, help me.
I think we can handle this.
Yeah. I think we're good, Morty. Thank you.
Thank you.
I need to write down something so this is done. I can't just leave this in the open air.
Do you want the pigeon to go with you?
Yeah.
Okay. She's going on the black Audrin, Morty.
All right. What's her name?
Cece Whitwick.
Cece Whitwick, Black Audrin.
Stop, it hurts every time you say it.
All right.
You're a monster, all of you.
And the bird, did she say Doviotto?
Doviotto.
Because it evolved once.
It's a V-E-I-T-O.
All right, I will make sure this gets done.
Did I spell that right?
No, you did not.
Wait, what?
I was like, Danny DeVito?
No, it's Pidgeotto, but it's a dove.
To which Mortimer looks over and goes, and how about you? Anything you want while you're standing here?
We going shopping for birds.
No, I think I'm good. Thank you.
Kieran's like, leave me alone, loser.
I don't know who you are. That's my purse.
Stranger danger.
All right, now get out of the yard, you three. Go rest. Go do what you need to do. We got work to do.
We got a lot of things we gotta do.
Yeah, we gotta go get ready. I think June comes closer to the two of them and looks at them. Sorry, I didn't mean to run out of there.
No, it's okay.
He said that about the bird yard and I completely forgot. I had to see about the falcon.
Yeah.
Of course. You had to do what you gotta do. We're all tying up loose ends and doing all our side quests before we have the point of no return.
What do you three do for the rest of the day? I think there is a point during the day where Jaegermund sends everybody to the Red Audrin to go get their stuff, those who are leaving. And so I think we have a bit of a montage where we see all of the kids of the Red Audrin going through and like the doors are open and they're like bringing out stuff and they're putting stuff into their ditty bags and into their sky chests. And you guys are putting all of your little trinkets and things you've kind of gathered. And you have this moment where you remember that you showed up on this boat with just that little ditty bag. And now you have like duffel bags and chests and things with like you have clothes that you bought and trinkets that you have and things that you need to do. Like, Cece, we see you with like that black box that goes to the Black Audrin as you all pack up. What is one thing you pack up? I mean, you pack up everything, but what's something that jumps out to you?
I think whenever Cece, June, and Karen couldn't sleep, they carved nonsense into one of the beams that kind of makes up the walls of their room. And so Karen takes a second to get a pencil out and kind of do a pencil rubbing of each of these carvings so that they have it in their sketchbook.
How about you, June?
June finds there was a time way back when all three of them were still trying to figure out some of these knots, and they went through a phase of like tying knots into things that didn't need knots and like shouldn't have knots in them, like hair ribbons and like bookmarks and shoelaces, and you know, and so like there are still remnants of some of those unnecessary knots like hidden around the room, and June finds a couple of them. One of them was like a purple hair ribbon from Cece, and like one of them is it's like a like really super strong twine thread that Kieran had yanked from somewhere, and like it's super strong now. It's not very stretchy, but it's super, super resilient. And June finds these knots and keeps them.
How about you, Cece?
Cece has all the folded paper armor from their time in Otterbox when they spread the word about the Otterns coming to town and putting on, I think we put on a show.
We did.
I think we put on a pretty good show.
No, but Cece has all the paper armor and hats and things like that. And they're folded up very neat, and they're like pressed into a book. So they stay like you could just pop them open like a Krispy Kreme hat if you ever needed.
Starched.
Yeah, they are. Perfect. They're very creased. Perfect and taken care of.
I think we see the three of you pack up and you put everything away, take your duffel bags, your ditty bags, your, you know, a sky chest, like a small one or two. You put them all out in the hallway and kind of pan across to see all of that. And you go to close the door on this room that you've spent at least up to this point, this entire route, every night falling asleep, the three of you together, telling stories, carving into the walls. This was your safe place. And we breathe that in and the door closes. I think it's evening now and you have a final dinner on the Red Otteren. Jägermin is like, we'll cook here on the Red Otteren and we shall all sit here and have one good meal, all of us together, before we ship out in the morning. And we'll make sure that we go to bed at a reasonable hour, so we will get up early and be ready. Make sure the ship is ready to go for the new people, and we will change over your coats in the morning. So let's eat then, shall we? And I think it's a very simple meal. I think it's like sandwiches and maybe a soup that you all put together. But everyone's there, all of the Red Otteren, all your friends. Do you guys want to have any moments with anybody here? Or we can just jump to the next day?
I think at some point I want to give Bran a big hug, but that doesn't happen. That doesn't have to happen at dinner. I think
we can do that tomorrow morning.
I was going to say, I just realized that Bran and Fenton are getting split up. That Bran's staying on the Red and Fenton's going to the Black.
Yeah.
Yep, you see,
you
see the two of them sitting at a table, kind of like whispering and talking to each other. And they're like holding hands and eating. And I think it's at this moment, Kieran, you remember the mail room.
Oh my God.
What?
What are we going to do about the office?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, we've got the cooler and the plants. All of the stacks and the plants.
This one hurts the most. That hurts the most.
What do
y'all.
We do? Bran has to take over.
Someone's got to run the mail room.
We can write him a manual. I feel like we can do that.
Like a to-do list?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a plant sitting guide.
Yeah.
And like
definitely.
How to clean the windows.
Passwords.
Right. Yeah.
Passwords.
Oh, we got to have a password system. We got to pass that on.
Okay.
Karen starts writing this down in their
Let's
journal.
Write this down and then we'll give it to him later. We'll give it to him before we go tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very important.
That sounds like a good idea.
Can I just give a pitch of why I think this is like just the worst? Everyone at this dinner, no one really says how they feel.
Yeah.
Everyone just eats. And like, there's this sadness in the air and everybody has that, like, and everyone waits for someone to say something and then they just keep eating and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And everyone I think is too either shy, sad, scared, upset to really open up and say something. But everyone thinks the other person's gonna. Bummer.
Yeah, everyone's so in their own feelings, they don't realize that everyone else is also
yeah.
equally
yeah.
in their feelings.
Yeah, this totally backfired. This is not what Yeagerman wanted.
Yeagerman's at the front and he's just like, oh.
Yeah.
First day on the job.
Winchwind is like...
I like Winchwind and Yeagerman are at the same table, and Winchwind looks over at Yeagerman, and Yeagerman goes, I don't know why nobody's saying anything. I was captain of the Red Archerin for so many years. This was a thing we did. I will make it up to them. I will do something tomorrow. And Winchwind just shuffles cards, doesn't say anything.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't remember if you said Ruby in the assignments. I don't think you did he say Ruby in the assignments?
Ruby's staying on the Red Audrin.
Ruby's yeah. staying. Okay.
Ruby's on the Red.
Maybe Ruby can take over the mailroom.
Maybe it should be Ruby and Bran, because
yeah, that's a good idea.
One of us couldn't do it by ourselves.
Mm-mm.
It is not a one-person operation. Plants.
Yeah, but Bran is like two people when it comes to lifting things.
I think.
So like, I think if it's just the two of them, I think they take care of it.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
Winchwind gets up from dinner and crosses the galley to you, Cece, at your table, and they put down their luminary deck. They cut it and they go. Take the top card.
Like, just right now, just take it? Or, like, you mean, like...
Just take it.
Okay. Cece pulls the top card.
Roll it. See what it is.
Okay. Cece pulls the changeling.
Do you have the changeling?
I don't think so. Do I?
I don't think you
no.
do.
No. I had Echo, Maelstrom, Island, Star Watcher, and the one with the Skyjack, I think.
The Skyjack.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the Changeling, and you look at it, and you notice that this card isn't Winchwind's usual deck. It's like a blank deck. It's got like, it says the Changeling on it, and there's like a rough little bit on it, but it's not fully kind of made into anything. And Winchwind goes, that's your card now.
What?
Add it to your deck and make it what you want.
Okay. Star Watcher Winchwind, thank you for helping me with Lumen lore and star watching. You have changed my life, and you are the coolest person I've ever met. You are one of the only people who has ever taken an interest in my weirdness and developed it and forged it into something powerful. Good. And I will never forget you forever.
Keep going.
And thank you. I will become the most powerful and incredible Star Watcher slash captain the world has ever known, and I will name my boat after you or something. Something cool, I swear it.
All right. I like that.
Okay, cool. And Cece goes for a high five, like awkwardly lifts up a hand, like for a high five, and like puts it up facing Star Watcher Winchwind. Put her there.
And Winchwind high fives.
Oh, thank you.
You do realize I'm going to see you in like 3 months.
What?
The route's over in a couple of months, and we're all heading back to Thornvale. Like, I'll see you there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought this was, like, forever.
No. The route, we're halfway through the route.
What?
It's only a couple of months, and then we're all going to be in Thornvale again.
Cece stands up and looks around and goes, are y'all serious?
Everyone, like,
three
jumps.
3 months? I've been attacking everybody today for 3 months? I've used the bathroom for that long. I have had meals that have lasted longer than that. Y'all, I have had conversations with my friends that lasted longer. Oh my God, I just burned so many bridges. I yelled at the bird guy. Yo, I chewed out Captain Dennison. Did you know that? Kieran, did you know it was 3 months?
I think technically we knew, but it kind of got washed away in the shock of everything.
It felt like more. Yeah.
I thought I was like legit never. Oh my
no.
God. We're going to hang out in like a minute. This isn't even an anime time skip, y'all. This is 3 months. We're going to like look the same.
That's doable, right?
Winchwind's like 3-4 months. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just a couple of months.
Oh my God. That's not even bad.
We can do that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, us?
Yeah.
We're the most powerful friend group the world's ever known. Yeah. Can we do it?
That's
Are
true.
You joking? Please, in 3 months, you know how powerful we're going to get? And then when you reunite, our powers are going to combine. It's going to be even more powerful. And then like, oh, wait, Kieran, what if even when we're separated, we meet in Apple Dreams? What if we have Apple Dreams while we're separated and we like hang out at night when we're asleep?
I think people are still looking at us. And
people are like, Apple
Dreams? June looks around and she's like, she's very tired. She's got like, there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember, my good young couriers, that a new Ardrin is still a new Ardrin. There is much to learn, and it is not easy since it is halfway through the route. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it, I suppose. To the Red Ardrin. And he like raises a cup. Everyone's like, to the Red Ardrin.
Red Ardrin.
Karen and Cece are both delayed because they're whispering frantically to each other.
He takes a drink. He like puts it down. He's like, I'm going to bed.
Nighty night.
They did this because Dennison is the only person who can handle all three of us at the same goddamn time.
Facts.
I think everyone breaks up and starts heading off to like go to bed and stuff like that.
Ah, real quick, I think you guys go down to the mail room. What do you each take something?
Aww.
Kieran takes the drawing of the water cooler.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
It's painstaking.
June takes the paper sign that looks like a what is it? A watering can for the plants. We've done everything out of paper. We didn't have any real props. We just had.
I think our window's paper too, isn't it?
The window is paper. Yes.
Everything is paper.
Good. It's all paper.
Cece takes the window for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
And I feel like we jump to you guys going to bed, saying goodnight to everybody. I think we have a montage of Bran and Ruby and all of them kind of giving everybody hugs and saying goodbye. And Bran going, I mean, you can head back to the common house if you like, or you can just sleep in your rooms tonight. Like, either way, it works.
Hey, Bran?
Yeah.
We have
Kieran?
A manual for you in the morning.
For what?
We are going to bequeath the office to you.
You mean the sorting room?
Yes, the office.
No. Okay, that's like the first chapter of the manual. It is the office. It is not the sorting room.
You are going to need to make a new window. That's going to be important.
You are
the plants
going
to
have
to
a
get
password
light.
System.
All right. Wait, is this the room you all would go down to and spend hours and when you weren't working?
Yes, we were working even when we were in there.
We were sorting the mail.
The grind never stops, Bran. That's on page 6. You'll see. The grind never stops the mail.
He like opens it and goes, oh, yeah, it is on page 6.
So this is for you. We would like to strongly suggest the candidacy of Ruby to assist you.
She would definitely be our first choice.
An asset, yeah.
You want me to do what?
Oh, hey, Ruby.
Hi.
So remember how there is the office
downstairs? The sorting room downstairs?
Yes.
The office. It's the office.
The office? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
We're leaving it to Bran, and we just suggested you for a position in the office.
Oh, that's really sweet.
We think you'd be good at it.
Thank you.
I think you'd be an excellent.
Benefits package to follow. We haven't worked out what a 401k is.
Does this make us the board of directors?
Yes.
Okay.
We have the full seats. We are the board, and we would like y'all to take care of this in our absence until the three of us are united and power flows back into the Red Ardrin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. I can do that. Great. And Bran goes, yeah, sure, I can do that too.
Awesome.
So I am the man.
The pact is sealed.
The pact is sealed.
It's
Let it be done.
All right, well, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Bran.
Good night, Ruby.
Good night.
Oh, bye, Rubes.
Oh, hey, Bran.
Yeah?
I'm sorry that Fenton's going to a different Ardrin.
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
It's probably hard, though.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna rock an LDR?
What?
Long distance relationship, Bran.
Long distance relationship.
I can help
letters.
You maintain if you want.
Nope.
Going on there with her.
What? Oh, that's
you
right.
Want me to, like, yeah, right? We're going to be hanging. So,
yeah,
like, if you want me to, like, really want to keep this going, or if you want me to let her know that you're not interested in
No, it's fine. She's, look out for her, Cece, if you don't mind. She's kind of weirded it out.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
She's never been on the Black Ardrin before, and all she knows is that people get cursed.
Oh.
I mean, that's not all everybody. Like, some people come with curses, from what I understand. Some people gain curses. Some people lose curses.
Well, Cece's not cursed.
Yeah.
I'm just cursed with, like, these devilishly good looks and big muscles.
Yeah,
but, like,
I mean, but it's a burden that she carries every day. But
yeah, I was going to say these guns right here.
Yeah.
June, like.
Just look out for her. She's scared.
Oh. I'll look after her. And, you know, if she starts, you know, acting up, I'll give her a little check, too. And then she winks at Kieran, says, you should see the other guy.
You really should see.
Yeah, I saw the other guy.
All right, you three.
Night, Bren.
Good night, Bren.
Night.
Night, Bren.
Hey. Mm-hmm. He, like, is standing in the hallway looking at the three of you and goes, yeah, night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Walks away.
See ya.
Where do you guys sleep tonight?
Do we all sleep in the same bed?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we see, I think it's just an overhead shot of the three of you in Wait. In like a big bed. I think
I know how it starts too. I'm
sorry. Please, okay, please tell
this
me.
This is so important. Like we all like crawl into our own beds and then Kieran's like, June.
What?
Are you awake?
No. Yes. I mean, what?
Zizi.
What? Zizi.
Zizi. What up? Awake? I don't sleep. I wait. So what's up? So what's up, little partner?
Do you guys want to let you want to have a sleepover?
Yes.
More than anything I've ever wanted in my life.
Which bed?
Cece's, because it's warmer.
Okay.
I am a furnace. Come to me, my little fledglings. Come to me.
It's just her farts.
just drilling them. Welcome to my Otterbox oven.
The sauna.
Welcome. What was that? What was
the
welcome
to compliment.
Frigga's sauna?
What was it? The spa.
Was the spa called?
The mineral spa.
Frigga's little spa.
The Noldir. The Noldir spa.
Oh,
we called it the witch spa. Remember?
Witch spa.
Welcome to the witch spa. spa. Hold your breath before you climb aboard, kids.
It's easy.
It's pretty rank.
This is terrible. Kieran, you know this is what? A bad choice.
I'm bringing this curse all the way to the Black Audrin, baby. They thought they were cursed before. Wait till they get a load of me.
I think you guys are...
June chucks a pillow at Cece's face.
Cece just eats it, like, eyes wide open, and she moves the pillow to show, like, this angry stone face. I'm just kidding.
No, I love it. I imagine the three of you are just kind of, you lay there, you giggle, you laugh, you talk. We see the three of you fall asleep this last time with the biggest smiles on your faces. That night at about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, the Indulgence leaves. Olivia is there on the deck of the Indulgence, her personal yacht. And we see Silas Dennison climb up the gangplank to get onto the boat. He's wearing this black leather coat that has like a red dragon embossed on like the left shoulder. There's like leather like across his shoulders where Lysandra is standing. And behind him is Allegria Canticle, who's no longer in her yellow Audrin coat. She's in like this brown kind of duster looking coat. A sword at her side, a couple pistols on like a baldric, a couple of knives as they head on over to the Indulgence to get onto it. Allegria gets on, and I think Dennison stands there and looks out, and he sees the Red Audrin, and there's a look on his face of, am I doing the right thing? And we see out of the side frame, Lysandra, like, nuzzle the side of his face, and he scritches Lysandra and turns and gets on the boat. And we see the Indulgence lift off and head out of Swiftwell's Respite. Before you know it, it's past the trees, into the sky, and out of sight. It is the dawn of the last day here at Swiftwell's Respite. Nobody's leaving till noon, so it's an early morning. Everyone gets up, makes sure everything's together. And about 11:30 or so, everyone dressed, heads up to the shipyard. You notice that the Indulgence is gone. That's the first thing. The last thing is that as you all are standing there, like as a Red Audrin, your luggage kind of around you, Olwena comes over to you three and goes, have any of you seen Bobby Jean?
No.
No.
Is he not here?
He's gone.
He's gone?
I haven't seen him since prom.
What?
Wait, that's...
You don't think he went after Braith, do you?
No, June says abruptly. No, I don't think he would do that.
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
No, he was too upset about Braith leaving. He wouldn't go after him.
Well, if he's not here when we leave, we have to leave without him.
Well, he's got a cousin here. If he's here, his cousin will find him and it'll be okay.
I think Kieran looks at June, but doesn't contradict her openly.
Okay.
We'll keep an eye out.
You keep an eye out.
Yeah.
I'll try to look down. Who's his cousin?
Sleazy. Sleezes.
Cousin?
Yeah.
Of course, Sleezes Cooper.
Yeah. Of the Honeysmoke Coopers.
I'll go down and I'll try to find them.
Yeah, we'll look around.
Okay. Hey. Yeah. She's like close to you three. It was an honor serving with you three.
Oh. You too.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Likewise. Dang.
Wish me luck. I've never been quartermaster before.
Oh, you're going to do great.
You're going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to crush it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so.
She kind of runs her hand over her short curly hair. Okay. Yeah. This is going to be fine.
Yeah, it'll
this
be fine.
This is okay.
Yeah.
This is okay.
Yeah.
All right. And we see standing up there, Ard this morning is up there. And he stands up and kind of puts his hands up for everyone to quiet down.
Oh, as this is happening, as Alwina walks away, June looks at Kieran, sees the face Kieran's making, and then looks at Cece and says very quietly, he definitely went after Braith. Bobby Dean absolutely went after Braith.
Yeah.
No question. There is not a doubt in my mind. You bad, June.
Why aren't we telling anyone?
Well, what are they going to do? Go get him? The safest place Bobby Jean can be is with Braith.
Facts.
True.
And if I know Bobby Jean, remember that time we went to Jolly Jack's ship and Bobby Jean got lost and he wasn't actually lost. He was just asleep in a barrel of apples.
I do remember that. And
okay.
That pretty,
yeah. That's. Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's probably fine.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Hello, everyone. Ard says in front of the group. He has his arms up. Quiet him. Quiet down, please. It's been a tumultuous day or so. I'm proud of everyone for the hard work you've done and for your patience and understanding in this difficult time where so much is in upheaval. We are happy to announce the new captains of the Yellow Audrin, Captain Viola Ackers. You see a woman stand up. She's got black hair, long pigtails, and she's got, like, guns. She looks so strong. And she, like, has her hand up, and she waves very curtly to everybody. Captain Ackers, for the Yellow Audrin, we appreciate you stepping up. Thank you. And the new captain of the Red Audrin, Adrian Yeagerman, returning to that post after several years away. And we see Yeagerman, like, wave to everyone else. It is now my pleasure to close out Audrin Prom, one we will never forget. And I ask if you were assigned to a new Audrin, to now head to that Audrin and be sure to exchange your coats.
Oh, man, I really liked this coat.
And we see everyone begin to, like, mill about and leave.
Oh, wait. June starts to take the coat off and remembers that the lining of hers is yellow. Oh. I wonder if maybe I can keep it.
Ooh.
You should. Do it, June. Flip You're it. On fire already today. Flip Why
it,
not?
Flip it.
June
flip
flips it, the flip coat it. Inside out.
That's
Let's
good enough.
Go.
It looks weird, Cece and Kieran.
Feels weird.
Yeah. It's just, I've never seen June that color before. It looks, Cece does say, it does look good on you.
Does it?
You look fiery. You look like a candle flame.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, June kind of trails her fingers down the left, like, arm of the jacket that has swords embroidered in, like, different kinds, different shapes of swords and knives and, like, daggers and stuff, artfully embroidered in, like, silver and bronze. And it's kind of cool.
Cece, yeah. You feel a tap on your shoulder.
Ah!
Sorry, Cece.
Put
hello.
The dukes up.
Cephas, remember?
Ah, yes. Young Cephas, good to see you, fellow magician, wizard, magic man.
Yeah, and he takes off his coat and hands it to you.
What?
What?
For why? You need this. You're on the Black Audrin, yeah?
I'm on the Red Audrin.
Are you tooting me?
Wait, that's so unfair.
Well, yeah. Braith asked that I join the Red Audrin.
Well, he did?
He did. Yeah, I'm supposed to be his replacement.
Cephas, that's Whoa. Awesome.
That's, you talked to Braith? That's
no, I didn't talk to Braith at all. He just gave me orders. Sorry.
Cancel.
Talked about it and, you know, I had a hard time. Thought I'd say no. But, you know, I said yes in the end. I think it'd be good for me.
Oh, man. Cephas, I'm so sorry that we're not going to be there to be with you.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's fine. It's all right.
Everybody's all mixed up.
I mean, Ruby's there. I know Ruby.
You do. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Bran will be there.
Bran will be there.
Really anything cool. I need to know about the Red Audrin?
Everybody's great.
Wait.
What?
What?
I'm making an executive decision as an executive.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Find Ruby and Bran and ask for the manual.
Yes.
All right. What's the manual?
You'll know it when you get there.
The third.
All right. And
he has been chosen.
He has been chosen by the plant.
Oh, and he turns and looks at Lazarus. Lazarus usually lets him know when something bad is happening. He's like, oh, it's all right then. Yeah. I'll get the manual.
June nods very seriously.
All right. And I will write you to let you know if it's good or not.
Yes.
All right.
Good luck.
Regular updates and good luck.
All right. And he hands the coat to you, Cece.
Cece takes it and puts it over her shoulder.
Does it fit? Is it the right size?
It's very small.
It's a bolero. It's cropped.
It's a little bolero. Yeah, it's
very small. She like can tell by holding it, and she's like, fascinating. Black Audrin coat.
You can always exchange it for something different on the Black Audrin. It's just a ceremony where I'll give you my coat and you give me yours.
So I'm supposed to give you my coat.
Yes.
Is that? Well, then in that case, Cece takes off her coat and throws it in the air, like really high.
Oh gosh.
In that time, she turns around and puts on Cephas's coat. It is like a bolero, like, but almost like a t-shirt. So like, it kind of looks like her t-shirt clothes, like her cool kid clothes.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And while she spins around and puts that on Sailor Moon style, the coat lands in her hand, the red one. And she says, this is for you.
That was really cool.
You look inside, you'll see some cool stuff. Keep this jacket safe. It is the secret of my power. And she winks at the June and Kieran.
He like looks and goes, are these stars?
They are. They're constellations. Isn't it dope?
It's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cece definitely got the arms are leather too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like a varsity jacket because I wanted to look like Brace.
All right. And he like throws it on. It's very big on him.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Like it's big. It's big on him.
Cece puts her hands on Cephas's shoulders and she looks him in the eyes and says, when you wear this coat, know that it is me keeping you safe from afar. And then she turns her back to him and says, now go. Go and make me proud, young Cephas.
All right, then. Bye, Cece.
She turns and gives him a big hug. Aww. Like a big one. She like picks him up a little bit.
Oh, thank you, Cece.
Does Lazarus change color?
red.
And she puts him down and says, 3 months, you and I need to have a conversation.
All right, and sure. Happy to do it. Take care.
Your boy.
Good luck, Cephas.
Bye, Cephas. Keep that jacket safe. If I see a scratch on it when I come back, I'm coming for you.
All right, and he like looks at Lazarus, and Lazarus is like, yellow, red.
Bye, Lazarus.
Bye, Lazarus.
There's a bing, 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 bing.
As he like changes, Alexa.
As he changes
there's
colors.
There's a little like throat pat. Bing, yeah. Bing, bing, bing.
It like changes like purple and blue. And he heads off to go be with his new crew.
Well, I guess we got to get Kieran a gray jacket, huh?
Oh.
I think there's just like a kid standing there with like a gray jacket. Like he like comes
looking
up
around
to the red Audrin and he's like, hi.
Can his name be Nathaniel Patrick Charles for NPC?
Hi, I'm Nathaniel Patrick Charles. You just call me Natty. I'm supposed to be on the Red Audrin. You're Kieran, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Do you want to switch coats?
Okay.
Cool.
Kieran kind of shrugs theirs off and very like. It's not crafty or sneaky at all. The face that's inside of their coat, they're trying to keep this hidden as far as possible.
Is everything okay, Kieran? Are you?
Yeah. No, everything's fine. Thank you for the coat.
You're welcome.
June leans over to Cece and goes, how is this kid a spy?
I will never understand.
Mm.
Okay. Thanks for the coat. Oh, any advice you can give me about the Red Audrin?
Sleep with one eye open.
What?
Dang. Yeah.
Kieran is gonna go find Bran.
What? he tries to. It's a little. It actually fits him rather well. Puts on with all the little pockets in it.
He 100% sees the face when he's shrugging it on though. Like,
he's like shrugging. He shrugs it. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What is this?
Don't ask.
Yeah, did Kieran do this?
Nope.
No.
Who did?
We don't know.
No one knows.
Well, maybe I'll ask for a different coat.
I mean, you can. It'll find luck. You.
Miss Quartermaster?
On the red Audrin?
What?
On the red Audrin, you don't ask for another coat. You take what's given, Natty.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also, who's to say that even if you get another coat, that face won't turn up again?
Ooh.
That's okay. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. That'll be fine.
Now get out of here, Natty.
Okay. I'm leaving. And he like turns around and walks away.
Everybody's feeling a little weird today. It's fine.
It's a little weird, a little wild.
Yeah.
Kieran, do you want to pull a luminary for this coat?
Ooh. 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 Yes, I do. The cutting stone.
Oh.
Oh, yikes.
That represents death.
Okay.
I think there are skulls on this.
Sick.
I mean, it's a metal jacket, and Natty was wearing it.
This jacket's kind of cool.
Actually, that looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like you drive like a motorcycle bird.
Hey, check this out. Karen like shows the inside pocket. It's got like a little skull patch on it with like
sick
craftsmanship.
It's got like flaming skulls on the shoulders, and it's really.
But is it like subtle? Like so, the jacket is gray, and the embroidery is like silver or something.
It's really
so that,
subtle.
Like, yeah,
it looks gray, but you have to look at it to see like the cool designs.
Like in a certain light, you see it really well.
Cool.
Like a normal day.
As the audience see Natty go over to Olwina and go, "Hey, my name's Nathaniel. I'm new on the Audrin. Can I get a different coat than this? Is that all right?" And she's like, "Oh, that's Kieran's old coat. Yeah, you can get a new one." And he goes, "Kieran, okay, yeah, no, oh. Yeah, I think
listeners,
so.
Our jaws are hanging open on this
video call. Who is this guy?"
And he like goes over to Jägermin and he's like, as he's walking up, he's like, "Hello, Captain Jägermin. My name's Natta. My name's Nat. And I'm happy to be aboard your ship." "Very good, young Nat. Come aboard." "All right." And we see him like step up, and like his whole demeanor changes every time he does something different.
Yo, NPC is the boss of season 3.
Calling it now.
Calling it now.
We're going to fight him with swords.
All right. Yeah, that's you guys exchange coats, and there's this.
Mine just kind of smells like Cephas.
It does. Sure. It smells a little bit.
There's nothing cool about it. It's very little, and it smells like him.
If you want to draw a luminary real quick for it.
Oh, snap. Cephas coat, what does it? What lumen does it smell like? It smells like the wind worn.
Oh. The wind worn. It's actually pretty beat up. It's a really cool, well-worn, beat-up coat. It does fit like a bolero on you. Nice. But it's got like a big, like, squall collar on.
Ah, true.
Sorry, so it's like a squall Lionheart bolero.
Let's go.
And
Cece's hair immediately begins to spike.
Yes,
like, you love to see
Cece's
it.
Like, you look in on the the sleeve.
Yeah,
and there are at least like maybe 40 names of people that have had this coat before.
Ooh,
and Cephas's is the last one, like up on the bicep. You've changed coats. And it's time to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Dang. This it, team?
Yeah, but it's not forever. It's not permanent. Remember, they said it's only for the rest of the route. And then things are going to change again. So it's going to be totally fine.
Totally. Totally. Hey, Kieran.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now?
You know, 3 to 4 months, I don't think I need to make new friends for that long. Okay.
We could all just, yeah.
Wait a minute. Y'all feel that?
What?
Y'all feel that? Y'all feel that energy?
Uh-oh.
Y'all feel that energy in your tummy?
Is that what that is?
That's fire, baby.
Oh.
All we gotta do for 3 months is feel that fire! Keep that kindling. Keep it rolling, baby. But Cece is visibly tearing up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. That's exactly what we're gonna do.
Yeah, just keep it kindling, keep it roaring, and we'll keep each other warm with it.
Mm-hmm.
From far away, and you'll feel that fire from all the way across the sky.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's going to go by really fast.
Oh, the fastest. Like, what have we been on this route for like 3 years?
Yeah.
What is 3 months?
Definitely.
Right?
And then we're all going to go back to Thornvale and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. And we'll catch up. And so can all of you do me a favor?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something cool happens, or like when you go to bed, or when you miss each other, write down something, or like a question, something you did that day. And then when we get to Thornvale, we'll all share like our tales.
Yeah, that's a
really
good idea.
Right? Cool. Because we'll need stuff to talk about.
We'll have like a bonfire when we get there, and we'll talk about stuff.
Oh, baby. Yes. Skytree team meeting.
It's going to be awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
All day team meeting.
Okay. I have a favor to ask both of you.
Okay.
Okay, so Cece, you're going to the Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
So if you, I know you have like your own important magical destiny to achieve.
Of course, always.
But like in the extra time that you might have studying things and finding stuff out, if you find out anything about this bird magic thing,
yeah,
this wing whispering, can you like write it down or just remember to tell me?
Baby girl, I'm going to create a magic tome for you to study.
Okay.
My adventures are your adventures. Cool. I'm going to dedicate a good amount of time to wing whispering, and then I'll make like a guide for you with everything I know. I'll ask Mulden everything, and then, oh my God, I got you. I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
gee whiz.
Kieran.
Yeah.
If you find out any information while you're on the Grey Audrin.
Yeah.
About other people who maybe were like me or are like me that are out there, that's a good idea to maybe keep track of.
I'll definitely keep track of that. And I'll ask a lot of questions too, because I feel like there's always like something else going on in the background. And like sometimes maybe somebody got powers because of a reason or something happened to them. So I'll keep notes.
Yeah, that would be great because, you know, that stuff that Fenton said about it being dangerous and bad and all of that. And, you know, Captain Foxhill said that wasn't the case, that it's not a binary thing, that it's more complicated than that. But I think both of you are in really good spots to maybe find out something that might help me not be bad at this.
You got it.
Cool. You're not bad at this. You're great. You're wonderful. And yes, we will make you even better.
Thank you. If there's anything I can do for either of you, I would like to know as well.
I mean, if you hear anything about my dad.
Yeah.
Or the Mariner, like, I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know.
I know that the Yellow Audrin does a lot of fighting, but I don't know, like, in what context that's going to take place, if at all.
I hope you don't fight the Mariner at all.
I was just going to say, like, I know, CC, you kind of want to fight the Mariner, but, like, if I have to fight the Mariner before you do, are you going to be mad at me, or is that okay?
No. Are you kidding?
I mean, I don't want to fight the Mariner, but I don't know what's going to be asked of me at this point.
It's okay. Whatever they ask of you, here's something you can do for me, June.
Okay.
And Cece takes her little hands in hers and says, just trust yourself. You're like the most powerful, smartest person I've ever met. So like, trust yourself. I trust you. Kieran trusts you. We believe in you.
Yeah.
You just need to trust yourself. Oh. Take 3 months. Learn to trust yourself. Okay?
Oh, okay.
That's your mission, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. So whatever you're feeling, just feel it and go with it.
Okay. I'll try to do that.
Lit.
Thank you.
As the kids say.
Thank you guys for, you know, everything, but specifically for being there for me. I don't know how I would do any of this without you.
The feeling's mutual. We wouldn't be able to do anything without each other.
Yeah. We're best friends. That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we're a sandwich. Don't forget.
Yeah.
Y'all, come on.
I don't know how we could forget that.
No. Don't forget the logic. Sandwich lock, baby. I got you two.
3 months isn't that long. We can do this.
You're taking a lot of time.
Oh.
And you like look over and like there's the Yellow Audrin like standing there like looking over, and it's the captain.
She sounds like Finn.
Come on.
You'll be fine.
June like bristles visibly and then kind of like lets her shoulders back down and then gives Cece a big hug. And then gives Kieran a big hug and kind of does one hand on each shoulder, looks at both of them. Okay, let's go. And then she turns and walks briskly away and shoves her hands into her pockets.
You're going to be great.
Fenton is standing next to you, Cece, going, come on, Cece, let's go. She's got tears.
Okay? Oh, my goodness.
I'm fine.
Oh, is it the nose?
Yes, it hurts. Oh,
I know.
That's
it's
what's
okay.
Wrong.
No, it. Wait a minute. Are you upset because of Bran?
No, I'm not upset because of Bran. No.
Oh,
he's stupid.
Okay.
I don't like him.
Don't say that. Everybody likes Bran. Bran rules.
His dumb, stupid face. It's so handsome.
No, it's a good face.
I know. Oh. I said that.
It's okay. Fenton. Come on, come here. She puts an arm around Fenton and says, come on. We're gonna have a lot of time to talk about this.
What if we're cursed? What if we're cursed, Cece?
You think that I am gonna get cursed? And look, hey, you think you're not cursed now? You know why?
Why?
You're stuck with me now, Toots. That's your curse. And she like squeezes her tight against her and says, relax, you'll be fine. Bran's gonna be there in 3 months. My gosh, people in love are wild. 3 months? Y'all are crazy.
As you guys walk over to the Black Audren, Captain Foxskull like standing there. Cece, as you go, you have that black package.
Yeah.
And you hand it to the captain.
Hey, Foxskull. Silas Dennison wanted me to give you this box.
Thank you, my dear heart. I will take that.
There you go. Happy to be aboard your magic sailing vessel.
I'm sure you are. Mm-hmm. Get aboard.
Cool. Can I be Fenton Eve's roommate?
Of course.
Cool. I'll whip that one into shape. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure you will. We have a lot of work with her.
Dope.
Get on board. Come on. Time's wasting.
Cece prances. And then she puts one foot on like the railing of the ship. I don't know nautical at all.
Yeah, just the railing.
And just, he says, she whistles like somebody added in post a really good whistle. Allie shakes her head. And she says, ahem, squad! As she then waves goodbye and prances off into her bunk to drop her bag.
The camera focuses on the black box that Cece handed to Captain Foxskull. As it's under Captain Foxskull's arm as he's walking along the deck, and we see him step next to a woman, maybe about 5'10", 5'11". She's got long black hair with these like gray streaks in it, and these like piercing green eyes. He turns to her and says, Quartermaster Haydens, I'll be in my cabin if you need anything. Make sure you come and get me. We'll need to check our heading. And Quartermaster Haydens nods to Mulden Foxskull as he goes inside to his cabin. Mulden's cabin is an eclectic mess of things. There are herbs and flowers and trinkets all along the ceiling that are like hanging down. We see that he's got cabinet upon cabinet of curiosities, things in bottles that move. As we're walking through this cabin to his desk, he's got like a big desk, there's a window like behind it. We see that the camera is on what looks like a statue, and then the statue like moves like a bug into the background. As he goes and he sits down, he places the black box on his desk and he looks at it and he sees like the red seal on it, and he reaches onto his desk and pulls out like a dagger. Like it looks like a very like ceremonial-esque dagger. It looks very almost not of this world. And he goes and he pops the top of the wax seal and he opens it. And the first thing that he sees is there's a note. And he pulls out the note. And there, on this letter, in black ink, we see the tidy but large hand of Captain Dennison.
Mulden, I've always appreciated you as a friend. You've always been there for me, and you've always had my back. I understand that now you cannot have that, and I do not blame you for it. We all make our own choices, my friend. I pray you take flight in the manner that you choose, and the winds lead you to where they should be, and where you wish to be. Right wrongs, do mercies, and all that. I have a parting gift for you. Oh, it's not a parting gift for you, it's a gift for one of your crew. I am aware of young Master Wormlock and his condition. I presented to you this bottle of liquor. And we see Mulden reach in and pull out the bottle of liquor that Olivia gave him. It's got maybe a little more than half of it still in it. And he kind of swirls it around and continues to read. This particular vintage has interesting properties. I hope you'll not mind that I tested it first. I know you would call that reckless. Please do whatever tests you feel necessary on this, but I hope to give this to Ulrich so that he may know what it is like to live more than 25 years. Again, I thank you for your friendship.
I'll never forget you, nor the time I've spent here in the service. May we meet again in favorable circumstances. Yours, always, Silas Abraham Dennison, Admiral. We see Mulden fold it and put it away. And he holds up the bottle through the light, and we can see like the light coming through the windows. It casts through this the amber liquid of this bottle, and he swirls it around and goes, "Oh, Dennison, you old fool. What have you given me?" And we hear a as he opens it, and it goes to black. That leaves you, Kieran, standing there, the gray Audrin off to the side. Everyone's getting on board.
I think Kieran looks around, starts towards the gray Audrin, and then spots Bran and runs in the opposite direction to just... I don't think Bran sees it coming. Kieran just hugs him from behind.
Well, Fenton, I didn't... Oh, no, it's you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Cece. Kieran, June, I'm sorry. But he turns around and he gives you a big hug, Kieran.
For what it's worth, I think Fenton's going to miss you a lot.
No, she'll be fine. I'm going to miss you, little buddy.
I'm going to practice, like, a lot.
Yeah, do.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Kieran just runs across the yard to the Grey Audrin.
We see you getting up there, and Wilthamnot is standing there as you get on board. Good day to you.
Does Wilthamnot prefer sir when being addressed?
Just captain.
Okay. Good day to you, captain.
Welcome aboard.
I think Kieran kind of like bows stiffly and sort of discombobulated kind of goes with the
flow.
Tell
me, Kieran.
Oh, yeah?
When the wind blows, which way does it go?
When the wind blows, which way does it go? The way it's meant to?
Interesting. Get on ropes.
Right off the bat.
This is going to be so much fun for Kieran.
Kieran's going to art school.
Kieran, I can't wait to put the sound in post at some point of like Wiltham not vibrates into the fifth dimension.
Oh, yeah.
We see the Audrins pull up their gangplanks, their envelopes bright in the afternoon light as they lift off out of their moorings, all four. They all rise kind of at a steady pace around each other. And I think we have a shot of June, Kieran, and Cece, each one on a different boat, pulling lines, working with people you haven't worked with before as you're trying to find your rhythm. And we see the three of you kind of turn over your shoulders and look out to see each other. You can just make out all of you as you wave to each other. The ships rise into the sky and pull away in opposite directions. And you watch, trying to make sure that you can catch the last glimpse of each other and the Red Audrin before your respective captains are like, back to work. And you begin a brand new adventure. It's the end of season 2.
Dang.
That's a wrap.
Yep.
I bargain with madmen who claim to be kings.
Singing way, hey, ho.
And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring.
Singing way, hey, ho.
I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain.
Singing way, hey, ho.
Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name.
Singing way, hey, ho.
My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to never be thankful for what you've received.
Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to the Outroll. I'm your narrator, Drew Merzieski, and we have come to the end, my friends. We are officially at the end of season 2, and now we have a bit of a break before we jump back into season 3. And I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for being here. You've made this season incredible. We've done more episodes and more Tales from Thornvale than we've ever done. We've grown the show and we've grown our audience, and we couldn't have done it without you. Not just because you backed and you've listened and you've posted about it, but because you've made it fun. So thank you, all of you, for taking the time to listen to our show, to love our show, to talk about our show, and to share our show with your friends, your families, and everyone who you think would like it. A little bit of context going out of this season. We don't exactly know when season 3 is going to happen, but we will be fundraising it relatively soon. We hope that you will stay tuned and listen to our show and also our sister show, Campaign Skyjacks, which, by the way, is an adult show, so just keep that in mind. In the meantime, we hope that you'll listen to our BOCO episodes, and there might be a few surprises along the way with Kieran, June, and Cece as they go on their new adventure away from each other. I wanted to give a little bit of context for that in particular. I know a lot of people are a little worried, and I firmly believe that in stories like this, stories where we see kids learning and growing, it's very important to see them go off on their own and become their own people. My plan is that when we finally do come into season 3, it will be at the end of these 3 months. So there's plenty of opportunity for BOCO for going with Kieran, June, and Cece as they're on their own Audrins, having their own adventures for the next 3 months. And with that out of the way, I think that's it. I just want to say how proud I am of this show. And I'm proud of all the people that work on it. And I'm really proud of the work that we've done. And I think it shows in how much you guys love these characters. So, even though this is a goodbye, let's say that it's just a see you later until we pick up again in the skies above Sphere with our Swiftwell couriers and our heroes. But until then, right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight. Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who will be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatano-Saez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertep, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertep.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
All My Fantasy Children. Each week, Aaron Catano-Saez and Jeff Stormer take a listener-submitted prompt and, using some of their favorite tabletop RPGs, create an original fantasy character. Along the way, they share laughs, stories, verbal hugs, and populate a shared universe, one story at a time. These are All My Fantasy Children. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey.